Okay, this is one of the opportunities that I really look forward to give you the schmooze, the annual schmooze. And my goal is to inspire all of you to grow and develop as B'nai Torah. But I'm also realistic. And I know that not all of you will change from the schmooze, but hopefully one of you will hopefully change, and hopefully that person will be you. We know that these parshios, Shmos, Va'era, and Bo, and certainly B'shalach, are very familiar to us. And the truth is, it's on purpose. The pasuk tells us, the Ramban at the end of this week's parsha, after discussing the mitzvah of tefillin, tells us that focusing on the miracles of Mitzrayim are the cornerstone of our emunah. I'd like to quote to you a few lines of the Ramban to impress upon you the importance of remembering this Mitzrayim on a daily basis and what it's supposed to do for us. The Ramban says, and this is quoting the Pesukim that discuss Moshe Rabbeinu's warnings of the Makos. One pasuk he quotes is, "Laman teda ki ani Hashem bekerav aretz." The point of the Makos was that the people of Mitzrayim, including the Jews, should know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu exists. Lahoros al hashgacha, to teach that there is supervision in the world. Another pasuk later on says, "Laman teda ki la Hashem aretz." The land belongs to Hashem. What's that supposed to teach us? Lahoros al chidush, to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and continues to be mechadish b'chol yom, b'tuvah b'chol yom. Later on, the pasuk says, ba'avur teda ki ein kamoni b'chol aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that there's no other power in the world except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, lahoros al hayecholas, to teach us the abilities and the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we look at the Makos, and the truth of the matter is, one would think that the Makos are there to release the Jewish people, get them to become free. But we know that if that was the purpose of the Makos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have skipped the first nine. He could have gone straight to Makos Mechoros and freed the Jewish people. The point of the Makos is to instill within us and to instill within the world Emunah Hashem. And that's also why Yitzias Mitzrayim is the cornerstone of our Emunah and is the reason behind many, many mitzvos. Tefillin, mezuzah, certainly, the daily remembrance of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sukkah, Matzah, on Pesach, can you imagine? On Pesach, the halacha is, anybody who eats chametz is chayav koreis. Anybody who doesn't bring a korban Pesach is chayav koreis. That's a serious punishment. There's no such punishment for tkiyah shofar. There's no such punishment for not doing lulav. What we see here, says the Ramban, is that many of the mitzvos that we do, certainly on a daily basis, and those of you that are learning the Daf Hayomi, right, it says that Emes V'yatziv, saying that paragraph after the Shema is the Oraisa. Why? Because it includes in us the remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. To remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why is remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim so important? So the Ramban explains that what? Because of these great and publicized and well-known miracles, because we recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu made the dam and the tzardei and the kingdom and the arav, etc., etc., we also come to realize that the fact that I can pick up my hand, the fact that I can talk, those nisim nistarim are also from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. She'ein la'odim chelak b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu ad shna'amim b'kol tvarenu u'mikrenu shekul nisim ein b'hem teva u'minhogo sha'olim. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Everything in this world is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And where do we get that from? By studying and learning and, of course, remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. It's on our mezuzahs, it's on our head with the tefillin. Again, those of you that are learning Daf Yomi, you realize when we're discussing the last few days that people going to the bathroom with the tefillin, everybody's like, what? Going to the bathroom with tefillin, how do you wrap it up? Because in those days, they wore tefillin all day, which means that the lechat chila idea is, right, benin ayodecha or benin echa. It's always, all day they wear tefillin. Why? To remember all day Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then the Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supervising the world, bein birab and bein miyachid, for the Jewish people and each and every one of us. Elim yaseh mitzvos yatzlichenu scharo, if you do the mitzvos, you'll be rewarded. Im chas v'shalom, im yavar lehem, yachrisenu ansho. What do we see? That Yitzias Mitzrayim, that these parashas that we're going through, is supposed to ingrain and inculcate and internalize the feelings of the Emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and continues to run the world. And everybody here, I would like to believe, believes in the Makos, believes in the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we all believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world in its Hashgacha. But the question is, as the Pasuk tells us, Vayedata Hayom, You know, we know. Yeah, it has to settle into our heart. Reminds me of a muscle that I once saw in the Sefer Bavli Mishkan Evnei. There's a difference between knowing and internalizing and feeling it. And the muscle that he gave was, let's say, Bob Schwartz won the lottery. Okay? Now, all of us in the room found that Bob Schwartz won the lottery. So we know it. That's the idea. That's knowledge. But what about Bob Schwartz? Of course he knows he won the lottery. But when he eats, when he sleeps, when he goes to sleep, when he takes a shower, when he brushes his teeth, when he eats a meal, winning the lottery is a part of his life. That's the difference between Yadat HaYom V'Hashevos Elevavecho. It becomes a part of him. There's knowing and there's knowing. And that's the idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not something that we're supposed to know about. It's something we're supposed to feel on a regular basis. And that comes through the remembering of Yitzias Mitzrayim and as much as possible. That's point number one. Point number two, in last week's parsha, Aaron is mentioned before Moshe. Rashi right away says, why is that? Sometimes Aaron is mentioned before Moshe, sometimes Moshe is mentioned before Aaron. Why? To tell you that they're equal. Aaron and Moshe are equal, but it says, no Navi came like, there's never been a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's question number one. But even more than that is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Hei Pasuk Beis, says, listen to this. Forget about, yes, Aaron and Moshe were equal, but you know what? Listen to this. Roi kol adam v'adam lios tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody in this room, everybody in the world can be, every Jew can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Esther v'chonar v'asman, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu? Nobody became him like a Navi. Okay, so fine. So maybe it's not talking about the Muna. Maybe it's talking about the Tzidkus. But the truth is, says Rav Elchanan v'asman, Kovetz Mamorim, it's possible that somebody could be on a level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he answers the following idea. And many of you know this concept. In the beginning of Perek HaZorik, we discussed, Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo. Everything an Eved acquires belongs to his master. And he says, when you look at the final description of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is at the end of Mizos HaBrach, and also in the first Pasuk in Yehoshua, it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as Eved Hashem. And says the Radak as follows. You know what it means to be an Eved Hashem? You know what Moshe's crowning glory was? That Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo, whatever he acquired belonged to his master. What does it mean? All of his resources, all of his strengths, all of his capabilities were completely dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And that says the Rambam. Roi kol adav adav niyos betzitko k'moshe Rabbeinu. Each and every one of us, if we use our talents, our abilities, and our capabilities to serve Hashem, if we owe the Hashem, then we can achieve the same levels as Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only, certainly Aaron did that, and we too can do that as well. So those two points. Number one, total belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number two, that we could be like Moshe Rabbeinu to be an Eved Hashem. Hold those two points for a moment, and I want to share something with you. There's an article I once read, and it's called Heaven on Earth. That sounds like a great article. Heaven on Earth. Where do you find heaven on earth? And the article is about a certain company, about the SAS software company based in Cary, North Carolina. The CEO is Jim Goodnight, and this is what the article describes. What it feels like to work in such a company. I'm going to quote to you a few of the highlights of the company. Okay? They offer a nice paycheck, first class medical, dental, and vision care for the whole family. Everybody, all 13,700 employees get a private office. And their doctor's office is on the premises. If you need to go to a doctor, then you don't have to go and schlep to a doctor. They're in-house. They're there. And if you have, they have flu shots, they have on-site pharmacy, everything is there. And if you have, you need to see a specialist, the company picks up 80% of the tab of the next doctor. There's an on-site hair salon, nail salon, shoe repair, jewelry repair, dry cleaning drop-off, a tailor for clothing alterations, an accountant for tax preparation, an ATM. There's a post office. You can have packages delivered to the company. You don't have to. You never have to go to a post office. Just order packages to your office. There's grocery shopping each week. A farmer's market truck brings fresh produce, eggs, meats, and flowers to the campus. You want to talk about fun? What's fun? They have a state-of-the-art recreation and fitness center. You can sign up for a personal trainer. You can have aerobics classes. Indoor swimming pool, there are leagues, competitive, non-competitive, frisbee, golf, soccer, kickball, volleyball, basketball, billiards, which you know is pool. It sounds like a country club. Does any work get done there? You know what? There is a country club. There's a country club across the street that they own, which costs non-employees $30,000 a year, but for SAS employees, $3,000 a year. Sounds like mamish heaven on earth, can you imagine? And then it talks about the cafeteria, they have kids' foods, and they have schooling on the premises. You can have lunch with your kids. If you don't want to have your kids, you can eat without the kids, whatever you want. They have hot dogs shaped like octopuses. They have four on-site subsidized gourmet cafes, free breakfast every Friday, Starbucks. Sounds like mamish heaven on earth. And the truth of the matter is that Jim Goodnight, the CEO, makes sure he hires the company. What's the company called? The company hires, he engages, listen to this. The company therefore goes to great lengths to measure worker sentiment and engages the Great Place to Work Institute to independently evaluate the standing of its entire leadership team every year. Meaning, he makes sure that he brings in an outside consultant to make sure that the staff is happy. And now, generally speaking, software companies have a turnover of 20% annually, which means 20% of their staff leave every year. In this company, only 3% leave every year. Why? Because employee satisfaction. Everything is taken care of. And not so you think people slack off? No, people don't slack off. Listen to this. While we say 35-hour work week, this is the CMO, Jim Davis, I don't know anybody who really works 35 hours. The reality is, if you trust people and you ask them to do something and you treat them like a human being as opposed to a commodity where you try to squeeze something out, they're going to work all sorts of hours, but they're going to enjoy those hours as opposed to slaving in the office. So a tremendous recipe for success. He treats his employees amazingly well, and in return, they go above and beyond the call of duty in order to serve him. And listen to this. Listen to what else he says. He said, Jim Goodnight, when he was a junior in college in NC State, he had a profound joy and accomplishment when he was able to program a computer. He knew he was developing software that other people would use and benefit from. And it gave him a terrific feeling, which means like when you felt that you did something that could help people, he felt good about it. So he used that model when he built his company. Listen to this. He wrote, in that moment, Goodnight understood that everyone thrives on doing significant things. And from knowing their work and had inherent value, they'll feel good about themselves. And ever since, he's seen it as his role to ensure his employees take great pride of ownership in all the work they do, knowing what they will produce will be used all over the world by people all over the world. Now, one more quote, and then I'll summarize. Securing feelings of fulfillment and meaning through one's work has become one of the most important ambitions of people in the 21st century. People don't want to be doing nothing. People want to feel like they're doing things. And therefore, SAS goes to great lengths to ensure employees understand how they make a difference. So when you read about such a company, you're like, wow, what a brilliant CEO. What a successful CEO. Who wouldn't want to work there and be taken care of day and night with all the amenities? And we see also objectively how successful the company is. What a beautiful expression. Now, I want to ask you a question. Okay, let's say you met two employees in the SAS company. One's name is Jeff Callahan, and one employee was Brian O'Connor. Let's just say. And you met Jeff, and you know what Jeff does? Jeff comes to work on time. He finishes his assignments by the appointed time, by the deadlines. He's invited to the executive parties. He has a positive relationship with his fellow employees. He develops a close relationship with the CEO. He works there for years and moves up and retires with tremendous benefits and admiration. You would say, what a smart guy. Jeff, you're a really smart guy. You went ahead and you worked well for the company. You were a dedicated employee. And Mamela, inevitably, it worked out for you. Life worked out for you. And you understood why he went to work early. You understood why he worked late. You understood why he put all of his strengths and all of his time and effort into doing well for the company. And then you met another guy. His name was Brian O'Connor. And what did Brian do? He showed up late for work. He didn't take it seriously. He was always joking around. What else did I write here? He didn't finish right. He partied on the weekends. Yeah, he said, oh, he indulged a little bit extra in the fitness room, etc. And maybe he didn't get fired, but he certainly did not advance his role in his role in the company, and he just went by. Now they both, at the end of the day, they both retired around the same age, but certainly Jeff made the most of his time and advanced himself. And obviously, all of us would admire Jeff much more than Brian. Now, this is a mashal. These are all, I mean, those two characters are actually fictitious. But the company itself is authentic. It's real. And if we try for a moment to think about how would we look at a guy like Jeff, a guy who's working for a great company where they treat their employees so well, and Jeff went ahead and he took advantage of his opportunities and he grew with it, we would admire him. We'd understand where he's coming from. And if we saw a guy like Brian who took his opportunities and flushed them down the toilet and didn't take advantage of those opportunities, we'd say, you're a fool. And that's the mashal. The nimshal is very, very obvious. Lahavdil elef alfei hevdalos. We're talking about a successful company that could be here today, gone tomorrow. It's not eternal. It's not forever. Even the lifespan of these employees is certainly finite. 80, 90, 100 years. It's not forever. But when we talk about our world, the world that we just described, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to us in the Makos, in Esther Makos, in Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hoya, Hove, V'yia, was, is, and will be. He's almighty. He controls everything. Ein kamoni b'chol aretz. So when you compare him to a Jim Goodnight, a Buster Adam, a human being, it doesn't even compare. You compare a company which sounds like heaven on earth to this world that we're privileged to live in. It doesn't even hold a candle. And then, on top of that, you think what it means to be an employee of a company, a dedicated employee of a company for 60, 70, 80 years and all the fringe benefits. When we look at somebody who could be an Eved Hashem, somebody who could be like Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody who's an Eved Hashem in the 80, 90, 100, 110, 120 years of his life, which is only in this world. But you know, Ashrecha Bolam Hazeh, Ashrecha Bolam Haba, that's not temporary, that's eternal. If you put those two things together, that we're working for the Melech Malchei Melachim, who's eternal, and we have the opportunity to be a dedicated employee in Eved Hashem, not just in Olam Hazeh, but forever and ever, I would like to think that it would encourage us to say, you know what? Just like I can't fathom a guy like Brian working the way he did, or lack thereof, I can't fathom why Brian would not take his work seriously, but I can totally relate to Jeff. How could it be that when we translate that into our own lives, and we're working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the creator of the world, the master of the universe, and we have the golden opportunity to be Ovdei Hashem, his princes, the Bnei Yisrael? How could we ever act like a Jeff? How could we ever act like a Brian, not like a Jeff? Which leads me to my next point. The person totally internalizes the miracles of Mitzrayim and Emunah Hashem and our role as potential Ovdei Hashem. How could we not seize the moment? How can we not take advantage of all of our opportunities in life? And I'd like to highlight 20 different opportunities, 20 different points that we may come that we may encounter in our lives, and try to look at them. Would we be an Eved Hashem like Moshe Rabbeinu? Would we lahavdil like a Jeff, who's a dedicated employee of a company, or would we be like a Brian? I'd like to highlight 20 different points where you can bring that out. Starting with what happens in yeshiva. Number one, shachris in yeshiva. So, we believe in Hashem. We believe that we want to have a relationship. And he says, wake up, down with the minyan. You know, right? The tefillah of a tzibur is never sent empty-handed. It's not yashuv breikom. What an opportunity. And we need tefillah, because Hashem's running the world. And he said, to die for me to go. Of course, I'm a dedicated employee. I'm an Eved Hashem. But yet, sometimes people say, my madrich didn't wake me up. Doesn't make a difference, madrich didn't wake up. We have an alarm clock. We know we can get there. Shachris on time. Do we believe that Hashem created the world? Yes. The Makos. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Do we believe that we have the opportunity to be Eved Hashem? Absolutely. Just go to Shachris. That's number one. Number two, Seder. Seder starts at 9:15. The 3:10 Seder starts right after Mincha. Of course, Mincha. And 6:10. And Maariv. And Musar Seder. Who wouldn't come on time? Jeff would come on time to Musar Seder if that's what the company asked for. How could we be like a Brian, Rachman Litzlan, Chas Shalom, and not come to any of our Siddurim on time? Summer plans. What are our summer plans? Are our summer plans the kind of plans that we look through? How can we grow as a Ben Torah? How can we learn the most? How can we do the most amount of chesed? How can we give encouragement to other people? Or are summer plans based on, oh, I want to make money, I want to chill. I learned the whole year in yeshiva, I want to chill for the summer, I want to like hang out with the boys. The question is, what is our goal for the summer? And of course, even if your goals are to be Ben Torah, within the idea of a Ben Torah, there's a lot you can do. There's learning camps, there's chesed camps, there's regular camps you can give chizik and learn with youngsters, etc., etc. Number four, Shana Bet. Shana Bet. So one could say, I learned enough, it's not for me. But you're passing up an opportunity to sit and learn and grow and daven in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, with Rebbeim that love you, that want to help you grow, with Chaverim, with friends and camaraderie that want to help you grow. Okay, if you gave up another year of your life to internalize and to continue to grow and to build a foundation of the most important aspect of your life, of ruchnius, of being an Eved Hashem, a servant of Hashem, nobody's telling you to stay, come back Shana Bet and Gimel and Dalet and Hey and Vav. Nobody's asking that. Come 2 years. Spend these 2 years working on yourself to becoming the greatest Ovdei Hashem. And then, of course, Vakasha, go off to college, get a career, get a Parnasa, absolutely. Number five, let's stereotype this for a moment and say that you go to YU. Now in YU, there's a lot of different choices you can have. You can be in a program where they learn Limudei Kodesh, you learn Gemara until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, of course, they spend a few hours learning secular studies, working towards a career. And then you come back at night seder. So there's some people that say, I want to be an Eved Hashem. I know Hashem created the world and He runs the world and I want to be an Eved Hashem. And therefore, my focus is Avodas Hashem. Of course I have to spend time working on my career and working on my secular studies. Of course. But my focus is my learning. Or you could be like a Brian who says, no, it's okay. I'll go, I'll only learn a little bit. At night I'll hang out. I'll schmooze, etc., etc. Number six, how do I relate to the opposite gender? Am I an Eved Hashem? I say, listen, I understand, Baruch Hashem, there's a mitzvah to get married, there's a mitzvah to build a home. But until I'm ready to build a home with the opposite gender, why is it important? Why is it worth my time to have a platonic relationship? What's that for? Does that help my, where exactly does that fall into the category of being an Eved Hashem? Of course, right? A person has to get married, there's a chiv, there's an obligation to be involved, to have a family. However, that's when you're up to that stage in life. But as long as we're not up to that stage in life, perhaps we should focus our time on learning and growing as a Ben Torah before that stage. Number seven, who should we marry? Should we marry that girl that's modest, that davens, that is your shemayim, that has midos tovos, that's filled with chesed? We should say, no, I want to find the girl that likes to, knows how to have the most amount of fun. Right? She likes to have fun. That's my criteria. So are you a Jeff working for the best boss in the world? A Havdil? Or are you not working for the greatest boss, the Melech Malchei Melechim? Number eight, Be'ezer Hashem, if you get married, you find a great girl who has tremendous midos and she's Tanua, you're a Shemayim, all everything like that. What does your Shabbos table look like? If you were a dedicated employee of the Melech Malchei Melechim, your Shabbos table would be filled with Zemiros, Divrei Torah, stories about Tzaddikim, and you'd wear beautiful Shabbos clothing, and you'd honor the Shabbos. But if Rachmon Litzlon, you don't feel like you're serving the King of all Kings, you're just getting by like a Brian, so okay, so Lashon Hara, talk about other things, maybe you don't need to wear the nicest clothing on Shabbos. Number nine, how do you approach shul on Shabbos? What's your take? Is the highlight of shul, as somebody pointed out to me recently, Kiddush Club? Kiddush Club, that's what I go for. I come a little bit late. I come late. I hang out. I schmooze. That's where I see my friends. I have no other time to see them. That's my goal on Shabbos. Or you're actually beautiful. I spoke to a student last night who's in SUNY Binghamton, and he told me it was snowing this past Shabbos, and it was hard to get a minyan, but of course he was there. He was telling me, so the minyan didn't start at 9:15; it started 9:45. I had such nachas that he, Baruch Hashem, was one of the first guys there, 9:15, and he was the one who's, started the minyan and got other people to create the minyan. Are you the kind of person that comes at 9:15 for the 9:30 minyan, or you come at 9 o'clock? Halavai, you come early. What a beautiful, beautiful thing! What's our approach? Are we like a Jeff who's dedicated to the company, or are we not? Hilchos Shabbos, I know Baruch Hashem, many of you are learning Hilchos Shabbos. Some are actually learning it very, very well, Baruch Hashem. But some people, their whole lives, they think Shabbos means no turning on a light, no driving a car. That's what many people think. If I didn't turn on a light, I didn't drive a car, I was Shomer Shabbos. Do we know what Hilchos Borer is? Hilchos Borer, right? And we even had, I couldn't believe it, I had a conversation recently and it wasn't so clear. That if you have, let's just say for example, if you have peas and carrots together, right? And you only like the carrots, you don't like the peas. It's just as bad, if not even worse. If you don't like the peas and you take the peas out of the peas and carrots, that's like turning a light on Shabbos. Whoa! Many of us, unfortunately, may not have known that. But if you don't like the peas that are mixed in with the carrots, and you pull the peas out, that's comparable to turning a light on Shabbos. Well, as the Mishnah Berurah says in the beginning of Chelek Gimel of Hilchos Shabbos, he says, it's hard to be properly Shomer Shabbos unless you learn Hilchos Shabbos. So this person, he's Shomer Shabbos. So is he Jeff? Is he dedicated to his boss? And he learns about these halachas or not? Number 11, minyan three times a day. I understand maybe some people will go out of town and they may work out of town and mincha minyan may not be so readily accessible. But anybody who works in Manhattan, certainly, or even people who work in New Jersey, I know many minyanim in Teaneck, New Jersey as well, during the day, minyanim in businesses, etc., etc. And now, I've heard there's apps, you can always find the minyan. So what's your perspective? Are you trying to daven with a minyan three times a day, which the Gemara in Brachas tells us how important it is, and I quoted that. I quoted that Gemara on Shabbos a few weeks ago, right? The person learns Torah, does chesed, and davens b'tzibur, so as if he redeemed the Jewish people from all the nations. What an unbelievable thing. Tefillah b'tzibur is in the same list as Torah, if I'm not mistaken, chesed, and tefillah b'tzibur. So is tefillah b'tzibur, davening with the minyan, an integral part of our lives? Number 12, daf hayomi. How does a person connect to a limud Torah? You're in the workforce. Now, right, we're talking, a guy's married, he has a family. So, does he come home at night at 8 o'clock at night and watch the news and watch ball games? Which, okay. Or is his night, like many people that I know, Baruch Hashem, many of our alumni, is his night, he comes home, says hello to the kids, but he puts them to sleep, spends some time with the family, and then goes out to learn, goes out to a shir, because he understands he can't learn all day. He has a job. But what's his ikar? What's his focus? His focus is learning Torah, and he's always lurking to find opportunities to learn. Number 13, chesed. Are you an outstanding and an assertive member of the community? Do you help out in your shul? Did you help out with your neighbors in need? Are you the kind of people that welcome new neighbors, new people to the community? Do you go out when you hear about somebody who's struggling financially or has a medical issue? Are you the first ones? And mind you, just as an aside, oftentimes we think, I don't know them so well, I'm sure somebody else is taking care of them. I know from experience it's not true. You never lose out by being over-assertive and over-helpful. If they're really taken care of, they'll tell you to go away. But if you hear that somebody has a need, seize the moment. Go forward. Be assertive. Say, how can I help? And don't just say, how can I help? Try, because, call me if you need any help. Call me if you need any help doesn't work, okay? Take an active role. Bring food. Tell them, can I give you a ride somewhere? And it works. What's your focus? Tzedakah. We know there's a minhag vasik. It's just a beautiful minhag. And the Gemara and the Pasuk Navi tells us we're allowed to fanuni gam mezos. You're allowed to test the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Aser kedesha tisasher. Give meiser tzedakah money. Oh no, but I have this reason and that reason, this excuse, that excuse. As the Gemara and where was the Gemara I was just learning recently? See, the Gemara and Gittin that you all learn. No, somebody has right. If you're tight in your money, what should you do? Give tzedakah. Give tzedakah. Meiser is a minog. According to most halachic authorities, it's a minog, but it's a minog that you all should do. And again, it may be hard at first. 10% of my earnings, really? But you'll see. Try it, and you'll see that it will be well worth your while. Number 15, I wrote down football. What's your Sunday like? Back in the day, if I remember, the game started at 1 p.m. But at 12:30 is the NFL game day, and then there's the post game. So you're the kind of guy who sits down on the couch at 12:30 and sit there till 1 o'clock in the morning? Is that how you approach NFL? I'm not saying, again, obviously if you don't watch NFL the whole Sunday, that's also meritorious. I'm not saying that. If your Sundays are spent learning because you don't have to go to work, and as Ray Waxman quotes over a beautiful story he says over about, he knew a computer programmer from Microsoft. And what did he do on Sunday morning? His Sunday morning was as follows. His Sunday morning was, he got up for Basikin. He went to mikvah. Apparently, he didn't have time to go to mikvah during the week. He went to mikvah Sunday morning. Dan Masikin, he was in Talis and Tefillin learning till 2 in the afternoon. And Rabbi Waxman says, when he goes to the next world, they're going to say, Baruch Mamboim, the Admor from Microsoft. So that's a Sunday morning. Okay, but if you're not holding on to Madriga, you need to watch a little football with Beseder. So watch your team. Watch your team. I know there's Red Zone, all these other things. You can sit there and NBC or ABC, whoever has the rights these days, will grab you for hours and hours. Beseder, but within reason. I wrote down here that somebody must have quoted to me that somebody spent 72 hours on fantasy football. Don't you realize that 20 years ago there was no fantasy football? There was no Red Zone. Why? Because it was enough, just your team in a few hours was enough to draw people. But now, people need so much more stimulation. They have to come up with fantasy football and Red Zone to make sure they grab you and waste your time for many, many hours. Number 16, the chinuch of your children. How do you approach the chinuch of your children? What is your goal? That they should become great professionals or they should become B'nai Torah? And of course, we want them to be successful in the world. But what's our focus? We want to be Ovdei Hashem or... and B'nai Torah or professionals. Number 17, how do we talk when we get older? How do we talk? How do we talk to our families? Do we say not, you know, inappropriate words? Do we talk about inappropriate things? Well, if you're Brian, yeah, why not? Who cares? I don't care about the boss. I don't care about working here. But if you're Jeff, and if you're at Tzaddik, and you understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world, and you have the opportunity to be like Moshe Rabbeinu and Eved Hashem, how can we say such things? How can we, even if we think certain things, how can we talk like that? Number 18, which is unfortunately something that has to be mentioned, right? In terms of being faithful to a spouse, being involved in inappropriate things, rumors. Of course, a person can't control rumors, but a person has to live a life of a kedusha v'tahara, a life that's totally dedicated to Kodesh Baruch Hu, not being drawn. Now, the outside world is trying to catch us. The Yetzirah, the Gemara Kedushin tells us, Barasi Yetzirah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzirah to try to grab you. But, Barasi Torah Tavlin. He created the Torah as an antidote. You can do it. Everybody here can live a life of Kedusha V'Tahara. Number 19, my favorite. When you get older, you build a family. Where are your family vacations? Is your family vacation at Aruba? Or is your family vacation to Eretz Yisrael? It's a big difference. Are we going to party? What is going to lead me to? What's going to bring me to the greatest level of Avodas Hashem? What is going to show my belief in Hashem the most? And now, just to summarize, just the last one is when this person, after you did great, you came to Minyan, and you came to Seder on time, and you married the right girl who's a tzaddikus, and you focused on learning and your whole life and your Shabbos table, and then when your son comes to you and he says, you know, I like learning Shana Aleph, but I want to come back Shana Bet. But as Hashem, you should be zocha to have a child that wants to come back Shana Bet. You should be zocha to build homes with Ruchnius and Gashmius. Have a great day.